A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday. We're watching right now as the Washington Nationals are up 3-0 in the NLCS. With the
three games to nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Three games to nothing in the NLCS already. And bottom of three, they're up 7-0 on the Cardinals. And this looks like the Nationals are going to go to the World Series. My heavens. But I digress, because we're starting off the show as we usually do with the 705 Cut, and totally something different. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 705. Here's what made the cut.
Here's what made the cut. We're sitting in our studios today getting ready for the show, and Scott Mitchell had it, apparently, because, I mean, look, when any team is not doing well, and I'll make the exception of, you know, I don't think anybody's calling for Quinn Snyder's head yet.
Not yet.
But don't wait, because fans are weird, and a preseason, you know, 0-for start, people start to get weird about things. But right now, BYU fans or your favorite NFL team that stink, fill in the blank on your team that's not doing well. The discussion is being had about whether or not they should be keeping the coach, the GM, the offensive or defensive coordinators, the assistant GM, the janitor. You know, I was down in Florida this weekend, and somebody actually had a T-shirt on, and it was like an old T-shirt, and it was in reference to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers having a bad season. Now, they're not doing super well this year, but I don't think people are saying this yet. But this T-shirt said, fire everybody, janitor included, like just clean at clean house. And we're at these games, we're watching these things happen. And after the game, Twitter started blowing up with this 2-4 start for BYU, calling for Kalani's head, right? Calling for firing coaches, calling for firing the coordinators, calling for whomever or whatever combination of it is.
Could you imagine people actually saying, I want you fired, Alex? I mean, do you really realize?
Listen,
No. It's not like do you really realize how hard it is for to be in a position where people are asking you to be fired on a daily basis?
Scott, I work in radio.
Do you have any idea of how? I know. Okay,
I've gotten the text messages, the phone calls. I've had people show up at broadcast house and say that they don't like me. Now, hey, those are things.
Okay,
but I'll tell you. But it's at a very lower
like
scale.
You. They don't
That's
like
true.
You.
No, I've had
do
people.
Do they sit there and go, we want you fired?
I've definitely had people say that I suck and I'm terrible.
I'm
and
calling
I lose
into
my
the
job.
Coach's show. I'm calling into the administration. I'm calling KSL. And you know what? I want you fired, Alex.
I've had a little bit of that.
But not
much.
Okay, so you know how it makes you feel then, don't you?
Yeah, but
what?
Here's what was different for me. I wasn't getting paid $1 million a year. And I still am not.
What does money have to do with
it? Here's what it has to do with it. Here's what it has to do with it. Because and this isn't the shallow version of they get paid a lot of money, they don't have feelings. It's the
kind of sounds like it.
I know it sounds like it, but here's what it really is. It is the I am not in a high profile enough place with so much money on the line for an entire community for people to be able to look. I think that people who don't do well at a really, really, really high paid position like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or a quarterback in an NFL team, or a head coach of a college football team, the criticism is part of the job description.
Would you fire Bill Belichick? Would you fire him?
Right now? Yeah. No, because he's successful.
Oh, exactly. But you know what? He got fired when he was at Cleveland.
That's true.
Got fired when he was at the Jets.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have said, wait a minute, we have –
let's give this guy – he's going to end up being the best coach ever. Let's keep him.
Why don't we keep him around?
I get it.
And look where the Cleveland Browns have been. And so everyone is so, like, hot to fire people.
I get it.
But it's almost like the mob mentality. You know, everyone gets so worked up about things that they create this mob justice. And they don't really look at the situation from a rational standpoint and say, who is this person really? Or what's really happening here? Because I can tell you, I've been in that situation. And I want to sit here and say, oh, you know what? Never bothered me. Never. You know, it's like, I know it's part of the deal. I know. I accept that responsibility. I've heard Clay Hilton say this. You know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than here. And I get it because I'm with him. I don't want to be anywhere else. But I'm going to tell you, Alex, it is not fun at all for a minute. I don't care how much money you make or you don't make. When people say you are terrible, we want you gone, it cuts you to your soul. And I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awful. It is not a fun thing. In fact, when I'll just tell you, when I was in Detroit, I got so paranoid about going out in public, I got used to I'm not making eye contact with anyone. If I'm in a public place, it's going to be a very quick. It's like head straight for the exit, head straight for do not look right, left, do not stop, do not talk, because people will catch your eye and they'll go, I know who you are. Like, I don't hide.
Did you have people just
I don't hide
total
in the crowd.
Strangers come up and tell you
all the time
that you stink?
All the time. And they're just like, you are horrendous. And I look at guys like Brett Favre, because we played in the same era, and I would watch game film of Brett Favre, and I go, I how does this guy last? The guy threw 20 plus interceptions all the time.
So you had this,
and I'm like,
he's being worshipped in Green Bay.
And it's a different world in Green
Bay.
Totally. Right? And they go, and you know what they said? They go, Mike Holmgren had the vision to say, we have this guy that's really good,
right,
and we're sticking with him no matter what. And I'm just telling you, give me that opportunity. Give me that chance when I'm in Detroit, and I can do the same thing. But I'll tell you, it is absolutely the worst thing in the world to be in that world, in any world. I don't care where it is, whether it's in sports or in just any kind of career, and you just sit there and you go – it is not a fun feeling to know pretty much everyone publicly knows who I am, and they all think, you know, you should be gone.
What about when people came up? Did you ever get approached when your kids were with you?
My kids were really young, so it didn't really matter at that time. But I'll tell you, my youngest son, Zach, we were at our house. We had the NFL Network on, and they had this program where it was – the top 10 left-handed quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, Zach, turn on the TV. I'm going to be on the TV. And he turns on the TV and he goes, the only reason Scott Mitchell's on this list is because there's only 10 left-handed quarterbacks of all
boy.
Time. And they had like Tim Tebow ahead of me.
Oh, my. In the NFL?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And that's offensive. I'm offended for you.
I know, but see, that's the point. And so,
what is your son? How'd your son react? Was he kind of?
He was like, you know, it's just really awkward and weird. And here's the thing. We had really good football teams when I was in Detroit, and I played really good when I was. If you look at the statistics, I had really good years, but it didn't matter what I did. But
Detroit is a city where they're like, this is kind of actually part of our identity, is to just be losers and to talk about our team like they're losers. And half of the crowd is going to have a brown bag over their head.
Alex, all I'm going to tell you, it still didn't matter. I'm just telling you, it cut me to my soul.
Yeah.
To go through that.
Are you saying that fans saying, hey, we need this coach out of here, is unfair?
I think you
fire this guy.
I think you really need to look at what the great picture of things and what's really going on in a situation, and kind of get voided of emotion.
Look, I don't know. I don't want to say
everyone gets emotional
because I don't say I'm a normal guy though. I don't say this guy blankety blank. I hate him. I hate this person. I don't like what they are. Like, oh man, I hope that he doesn't just get fired, but that like he falls into some financial destitute. You know that he's financially destitute and he has no that he has no success in the future. There are people who are like that. Mm-hmm. What I am is I'm like, yeah, this guy does not. He is not the person for this job. I mean, right now we could look at some of these places across the landscape of college football. Let me play for you a little clip from over the weekend. Joe Moorhead, who's the head coach of Mississippi State, who lost to Tennessee.
Ouch.
Who lost to Tennessee over the weekend, got emotional during the press conference because his 18-year-old daughter was actually approached by fans after the game about his performance as the head coach, as Mississippi State's head coach.
Stand there on the field and console your 18-year-old freshman daughter because she's crying. Not only that, because, you know, you hear a few fans, you know, she's walking down and walking out of the stadium telling her that her dad sucks. And, you know, they were right. On this date, I did suck. But, you know, that's part of it. And, you know, the support you get from your family means everything. And
what he's saying there is that it wasn't – for sure it wasn't right. But he has to appease the people who are even the bad fans and goes, no, I did suck today. I need to own that responsibility. Kalani's doing a lot of that where he goes, this is my job. I've got to figure this out. Now, people who – here's the thing. I don't want Kalani to lose his job. I think Kalani should still stay there at BYU, and I think he should be the head coach of the football team for the next couple of years. I really do.
And then what?
I'm saying to be able to really turn it around.
To really figure it out.
To really, really turn it – because it takes time to make adjustments and to turn it around.
So Joe Moorhead in that comment, I think he's trying to humanize what's actually happening. And he goes, there's real people behind all of this, and I think we forget – often that people are real people. I'm not opposed to firing people, and I'm really not. I just think you need to look it through and do it dispassionately before you make emotional decisions.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, speaking of Utah and BYU, there's an article right now in the Deseret News about how big that gap is becoming between BYU and Utah. If you're a BYU fan, are you thinking at all about the gap between you and Utah? And vice versa, by the way.
I think there's good news on the horizon.
Stay with us. Scott's got some sort of a pick that he wants to make right here on KSL's Unrivaled. KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.